my mind, you just wake up and go rake.
At what point are we as Americans going to finally concede that we are no longer in possession of the greatest athletes in the world of any sport?
We're not conceding that. If you look at the body, I don't mean to kill your point here, but actually I do. I do mean to kill your point. I mean to absolutely squish it and throw it in the trash because I fucking hated it.
Follow at Wake and Rake Pod on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Here's Danny and Will.
Merry Christmas. Can't say that anymore. Happy New Year. I can kind of say that now.
You can kind of. Right. You can say baseball is close.
Yeah.
For how many days? Like 85 days from opening day?
We're only like 2 months away. 50 days from spring training and pitchers and catchers reporting. Now, that's not the most exciting thing in the world.
Whoa.
Hey, you know.
Pitchers and catchers report in Fort Myers on February 14th. That's happy Valentine's Day.
All right, so 43 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Closer than that.
Yeah. We're at that point in the offseason where we're like, pitchers and catchers report, like, a couple of days, like, or yeah, just yeah. Holding on in.
I was like, there for a bit, I was like, just like, okay, I need a baseball break.
Yeah.
You know, you get through the holidays and then like New Year's and you're like, all right, I'm getting that itch again. I'm getting that itch back, which is good because I'm going to be in Fort Myers probably in the next month and a half, probably around pitchers and catchers doing some preseason shows. So
that reminds me, can you publicly announce like what your deal is with Nesson this next year? Or is that still
publicly announced? It's just going to be like the same as it was last year, basically.
Okay.
So like 50 or so pre and post game shows, 30 games in the booth. So about half the season.
Okay. Your contract expired technically with Nesson with the Red Sox, and it just essentially got renewed. So congratulations.
Thank you. I still have a job, and I'm not relying on our podcast to make us some money.
You're not that bad then.
I'm not. Maybe they just don't have any other choices. I don't know. Like they, I thought it went well. On a serious note, I had a blast last year. That was my first full season in the booth, which it was like 25 games. It wasn't a ton. But I had like 45 pre and post game shows, which I did that the year before in 2022 is when I started that with Nesson, which is a blast. So our host, Tom Karen, has been there forever and he's the best and easy to work with and kind of just puts things. He's done it for so long. He knows exactly the spot to put analysts in. Right. So he just like for TV purposes he'll tee me up. Right. He'll put it right there. Just exactly where I need to be to answer and analyze a play or a player. And then the analysts. I mean, I had Jonathan Papelbon, Lenny DiNardo, Jim Rice, Hall of Famer. Papelbon's actually going into the Red Sox Hall of Fame this year, along with Pedroia, too, so and Trot Nixon. So that'll be a fun year. And it's a 20-year anniversary for the 2004 World Series team this year, too. So we'll have a lot of activities going on with that. Should be a fun season. Let's need the Red Sox to make a couple more big moves to make it a little more fun for the fans and for us. So we'll see.
That leads me into my next question, which is kind of the big topic of today's episode, which is just kind of giving everybody an update here. We're about past the midway point of the offseason. So kind of look forward to 2024 and take a look at some of the recent signings. One of those being Lucas Giolito to Boston. Yeah. And not long thereafter, Chris Sale was shipped down south. To Atlanta. Your thoughts?
The Giolito signing is like I feel like he's got a really high ceiling if they can get him back to where he was, obviously, from a couple years back. But you know, talking to Andrew Bailey, our Red Sox pitching coach, they really like what they think they can get out of him. Like they see clear changes that they can make just on the way that they teach things, their philosophy, their work habits, that type of thing. Andrew Bailey and Craig Breslow, obviously two ex pitchers, their main thing is like rebuilding this whole pitching body of work that for the Boston Red Sox. So they're rebuilding it from the ground up from the minor leagues on, as far as like arm programs, throwing programs, what certain analytics and metrics you're using, how you are building a certain pitcher's repertoire based off of their vertical attack angle, their spin rates, their all this stuff that says, okay, you should throw this pitch, you should throw in this quadrant, as in fastball up, or you have a good sinker, you should obviously stay below the zone. Just breaking it down for every single guy, and just looking at Giolito. Obviously, this is not coming from Andrew Bailey. This is me personally looking at him is like he's got to be better against right-handed bats. He's got to miss more right-handed bats, get more weak contact. He's known for a really good curveball, and then he had a really good four-seam fastball for a couple of years that made him who he is. Lost a little bit of velocity. That fastball didn't have as much ride through the zone, and guys were getting to it. So I think if he's able to add either a cutter or maybe get a little more horizontal break on his slider, he's good. I think if he ups his curveball percentage, that fastball is going to play up more. You know that you were a pitcher, the more off-speed you throw, more effective off-speed you throw in certain counts can put you in a spot where your fastball plays a tick higher just because you've seen or you have to be aware of the off-speed, right? So I think that four-seam at the top of the zone is going to play a lot better if that off-speed is a factor. So I'm curious to see what they do with them. That's all what I think. I'm not a pitcher or pitching coach. But, from a hitter's perspective, utilize what he does well. He spins a fastball well, but if I'm able to go up there and look for it as a hitter because I'm not concerned about anything else, it's not as effective.
One kind of nugget that stuck out to me, and correct me if I'm wrong here. I have my West Coast bias. I kind of focus on the West Coast teams for the most part. But at Fenway Park, you want guys with high ground ball percentages, right? Guys that produce ground balls
100, especially against right-handed batters.
on the mound, right? So I'm looking at last year's highest ground ball percentages, and Lucas Giolito actually had the eighth lowest ground ball percentage among starting pitchers last year, which is the polar opposite of what you would think the Red Sox would be looking for. From a starting pitching perspective, he had a ground ball rate of 36.2%, eighth lowest in Major League Baseball.
No, I'm with you. And I think that just goes back to them looking at his arm slot at the attack angle and saying, if we make these changes, like he can be that guy again. So clearly he got away from it. I think when guys start to lose a little bit of velocity, they get scared of their fastball. So they're not going to throw it as much. So I don't necessarily think he needs to have velocity added. I think he just needs to use certain pitches in certain spots more often or less, or just make some changes to his usage.
We talk about the Chris Sale to Atlanta deal just because I'm like nerding out over what Alex Anthopoulos in Atlanta is doing this offseason. Like he is acquiring players, using and using the money essentially to set up their payroll and roster flexibility, and then he's shipping them right out. And in acquiring new players because of this new financial situation that he's made, essentially. So he's tweaking roster and payroll to complete his roster essentially for 2024. So he acquired Max Stassi from the Los Angeles Angels. He shipped him right back out of there. He was able to acquire Jared Kelenic, and he kept Kelenic. He's going to be part of their team in 2024. But he also acquired Mitch White. Is it Mitch White? No. Mike White?
From the Dodgers?
No.
Where was he from?
It was in the Evan White. Sorry, Evan White.
Oh, Evan White.
Sorry. So it was Kelenic and Evan White. So he got Kelenic into the deal, and then he also acquired Marco Gonzalez. Marco Gonzalez went to Pittsburgh, and then he sent White over to the Angels. So Anthopoulos is just moving pieces around, and it allowed him to get a guy like Chris Sale. Chris Sale coming off a lot of injuries. I
He
get that.
is, but I think so. This was the season I was like, all right, I think Sale's finally going to be better, more consistent on the field more. It's this is the first year he's had like a full off season to like be normal and healthy and go into next year like a regular season. So I think he'll be good. I mean, Red Sox had to do what the Red Sox had to do. I mean, his extension he signed, I mean, it was. He had 31 starts over 4 seasons, right? 151 innings, I believe. And most and a lot of those came last year. So he missed a ton of time. Obviously, he had TJ, he had the bike incident, he broke his wrist in that incident. There's been a lot of stuff going on. I mean, there's no way around it. He was hurt. I love Chris Sale. I think he brings a lot to a clubhouse. I think there are a lot of young guys in Boston who leaned on him heavily the last couple of years, and he was a really, really good teammate in that clubhouse, especially when he wasn't able to be on the mound, which is really, that's hard to do. When you're there, you know you're making a ton of money. You know you're not really being able to contribute to a team. You're hearing it from the fans. You see it online. You read it in the papers. You're not blind to that stuff, or you're just getting trashed because you're stealing money, right? You're stealing money. And that's part of the game. I mean, it's guaranteed contract, right? So you can't really be mad at the player. It's not like he tried to get hurt. Like, he blew out. It was a freak injury. He had a line drive hit off him where he broke his pinky. You know, it's just like, what are you gonna do? But it was time to part ways. And I think there's a lot of upside with Von Grisham. I talked to Chipper Jones about him because he had him, you know, was kind of a mentor to him over there. And he said, look, this kid is super athletic. He's hit at every level, really, really good bat to ball skills. He's going to hit for, you know, above average to average batting average. He's going to get a lot of knocks. He's not going to have a ton of power, but there's pop in there. Obviously, we've seen it. His first career homer was at Fenway. And 2 years ago, I believe, towards the end of the year when he came up. But I think he's going to play second base for the Boston Red Sox. Trevor Story's going to be the shortstop. And there's that, I mean, Trevor Story being the shortstop for the Boston Red Sox on an everyday basis makes a massive difference in their defensive ability. The Red Sox struggled big time in defense last year. And a lot of that had to do with shortstop. They had 12 different guys play shortstop last year. Come on. And a lot of those guys shouldn't have been there.
Trevor Story will be there next year.
Oh, 100%. Right. 100. He's having a regular offseason. He's healthy. He's obviously, you know, was coming off injury last year. So he missed most of the year with the elbow reconstruction. He didn't get Tommy John. He had the internal brace put in, which cut his recovery time in half and allowed him to play last year. But his bat never came around. I mean, I think that was just part of, you know, missing that amount of time, being rusty, rushing back because the team was somewhat in it in the wild card race there for a bit when he was trying to come back. And just couldn't get the bat going. But, you know, we've all seen what he can do offensively, and I think he'll be fine. But I think his biggest spark to this ball club is going to be defensively because even when he came back last year, ground ball hit to short, you're like, out, he's out, doesn't matter. But before that, it was like, oh, it's a little sketchy. You know, Kike there, you've had some young guys filling in. You had Bobby Dalbec playing there randomly. Like, they're just trying to fill it in as long as they could till Trevor got back. So it'll be good to have him back defensively. I think Von Grisham has the ability to be an everyday second baseman. There's still a lot to be seen. You know, he had a good year in AAA last year. Didn't really get a big chance in the big leagues because they wanted Orlando Arcia playing shortstop, who came in and took over and did a really good job taking over for Dansby Swanson after he went to Chicago. So I think Von Grisham's got a chance to be a good player, especially at Fenway. I think that fits his swing. Where if he does have some pull side pop, he doesn't have to be a ton to be a homer, but he's a high average guy, high contact guy. But the biggest thing is being able to play defense. And I need to see more. I haven't seen a lot of him on like the defensive numbers. I think his numbers at shortstop are pretty average, so even a little bit below average. But Chipper seems to think he'll be a really good second baseman. And he's young. He's young, right? He's moldable, he's teachable, he's coachable. So getting him in front of guys, somebody like Alex Cora, who is a very good defensive minded, infield minded coach, could just help him make him better.
Yeah, Tripper Jones on the speed dial just kind of buried the lead
I
there.
did not call him. I text him.
Kind of a big time move. It's like a third baseman's core, I guess. I don't know. Group text you got going?
I mean, yeah, similar careers, you know.
Yeah.
Me and him, me and him.
Yeah. Best buds.
Yeah.
To touch on the Braves one more time, Alex Anthopoulos acquired Marco Gonzalez from Seattle, traded Gonzalez to Pittsburgh. He acquired Max Stassi from the Angels. He traded Stassi to the White Sox. He acquired David Fletcher, excuse me, acquired David Fletcher from the Angels, outrighted David Fletcher. He's still on the roster, but he was outrighted to AAA.
So he's not on the 40 man, is what you're
Not on
saying.
the 40-man. He acquired Evan White from Seattle. He traded White to the Angels. He acquired Matt Carpenter from the Padres. He released Matt Carpenter. So he's acquired one, two, three, five different guys,
Yeah.
either in
It's
groups
smart. I
of trade
mean,
and they're gone.
you acquire guys because maybe there's a suitor for another player you want, and they're like, we need this,
Yes.
this, and this. And he's like, well, we don't have that. So let me go get them from someone else, and then we'll talk.
It
So, I
just
mean, it's just.
It's chess. It reminds me of the Brian Windhorst meme. It's like, what are they doing in Atlanta? Right. And it's allowed them to either extend, sign, or acquire Ronaldo Lopez, Pierce Johnson, Joe Jimenez, Ray Kerr, Aaron Bummer, Jared Kelenic, and now Chris Sale. And Alex Anthopoulos has a resume of just finding diamonds in the rough and just creating just a stacked roster year in year.
Well, that all started the 2021 postseason, right?
It just makes me think, man, like, what does Atlanta have up their sleeve right now? Yeah. Chris Sale apparently is the answer.
Like, the guys, wasn't it 2021? They picked up all those guys at the trade deadline when they went on to win the World Series, and they're getting, like,
Jock Peterson,
Rosario.
Yeah.
Somebody else.
Didn't they like reacquire Adam Duvall at some point? Like, Adam Duvall played somewhere else for like half a
Cincinnati.
Season. Cincinnati. Huh.
Or I don't know. Yeah. But anyway, something he pushed like a lot of right buttons. Like, all the guys I'm crushing these, by the way. These are really good. You made fun of me before the show.
Yeah. Give me a rating. Explain to the people what they are, first of all.
The frosted pecans. It's like a Christmas gift from. It was like in like a tub of like assorted nuts.
Yeah.
These nuts. And I was skeptical, right? But normally, like, glazed pecans are like, these are frosted. It's kind of like, I don't know if you can see it. I'm gonna hold it close to the camera.
Looks like popcorn from here.
It does, but it's like, it's almost like powdered sugar, like glazed on to, I guess frosted is the way to, that's what it's called. It's good.
Is it Bobby
approved? I need a little snack.
Is it Bobby approved? Do you know what Bobby is? Bobby approved? Do you know what that is? Do you know who Bobby is?
Tell me.
Bobby, all right. So a lot of listeners might know what Bobby, basically Bobby has a scanner. You scan the product and it tells you if it's Bobby approved. It takes into account the nutritional facts, how much sunflower oil is in it, how much gum is in it, how much natural flavor, stuff like that. So
this is probably not healthy.
Probably not Bobby approved.
I mean, there are some omega-3s in this.
Yeah. Let's take a break from baseball for just a second. Cause how was Christmas? What was your best gift? You went on a cruise.
Okay. Yeah. So the kids normally have a 2-week break, right?
Yeah.
For the holidays. We had a 4-day cruise the week before Christmas. So our kids are out of school for 3 weeks. So I'm at the point now where I'm like, get them out.
Yeah.
Like, get them back to school. They're driving me nuts. There's a playground right now. That's why I have like an hour to do this. But thanks, Shitty Dell, for taking them out of here for a little bit. But no, it was good. We went on a little cruise. It was the kids' first cruise. It was for my father-in-law's 70th birthday. So went out of Fort Lauderdale, went to Coco Cay, went to the Bahamas. It was great. It was also tough because they're 4 kids, 6 years or younger. Mm. We had like 7 rooms all lined, like all connected. Not all connected, but all 7 in a row. So the balconies were all connected. So the kids could run up and down, go to each other's room, play. It was a great time. But a cruise is tough with kids because you're not just going to put them to sleep and go out. You can't. You can't leave them, right? So, but we're just, you know, it was good hanging out with the family all in one place, having drinks, going to the beach. But this time of year, it's not hot, right? It's like highs in the, like 70, windy, not beach weather. We went to the beach a little bit, but like the pool on the ship, it was Royal Caribbean. It was Liberty of the Seas. We did this ship because it was very kid-friendly. There's like a kid's playroom. There's a kid's pool with like slides. When I tell you the water was ice cold, they don't heat the water on the ships.
What?
Are you serious? I'm with you. Like, I was blown away.
What are we doing?
Maddie stepped in the water, and Maddie will jump in cold water and swim all day. Kenzie's like, sometimes. But Maddie got her foot in. She was like, Dad, way too cold. And I'm like, come on, it's not that bad. It felt like an ice bath.
Hmm.
It was so cold. So they didn't swim. So it was just like constant, like entertaining the kids the whole time. So we paid money to make it harder on ourselves than it is at home, basically. But it was good. I'm crapping all over it. We had a good like 3.5-4 days, but it was definitely, it's not vacation.
I could just expose you. I could expose you with some text updates I got if you want me to. Or I can, I'll pocket them just because we don't know who's listening. No?
Too soon. Jenny's not listening. Don't worry. She's not. But Christmas was good. Jenny and I don't do a bunch of like, we don't do a ton of gifts. We like kind of just like planning a trip, going on a trip. But this year, I did get a new putter. All right.
Oh, you got it.
I did get a.
Let me see.
I got a new putter. I got a Scotty. It's in the garage. It's a. I got a Scotty Cameron. It's called a square back two. So it's like it's not the normal like Newport like small head. But it's not a mallet either. It's kind of like in between. It's a little bigger, blade putter. A little wider.
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's sick. It's sick. I played one round with it. So my dad came in town right after Christmas. And the last 2 years, we've gone to PGA National and played the Champion Course, which is where they have the Honda Classic. And they have, like, the bear trap on the back nine. It's, like, it's a grind. It was tough. But we got a perfect day for it. Went out there, played golf, and I used a putter for the first time. I hadn't even practiced with it, and I absolutely love it. It's so good. When you have, like, nice stuff, you feel like, okay, this makes, like, I'm better.
Mm-hmm.
It felt that way.
It's in the head.
It's so true. But so that was my favorite gift.
What did you get, Jenny?
What you got? I got her a bunch of those like random stuff. Lululemon, got her some new perfume, some new PJs she likes. What else? I don't know. I got her like random clothes stuff.
One of our best friends, she just started working at Lululemon, like seasonal. She's actually trying to become a nurse, but she's working at Lulu just for the wintertime. And the worst thing possible that could ever happen to you as a husband is one of their best friends starts working at Lululemon because you see your bank account just start to decline because they get that supposed employee discount, but you know, it's still Lululemon. So like an employee discount, which is like maybe.
Yeah. 20, the pair of pants instead of being like 120 bucks is like 80 bucks.
Right. And they're like, oh, it's,
but it's still discount. 80 bucks.
Yeah, and they act like it's...
She's like, babe, I saved 40 bucks. You're like, no, you spent 80.
It's like Costco wholesale, you know? And it's like, no, 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 this is still Lululemon, and you're still spending a lot of money.
Hey, I lucked out because Jenny's not a shopper.
Really?
She's not.
Does she get her clothes paid for through CBS because of her job?
She has a clothing deal through White House Black Market.
I know what that is. I know what that is.
So that's who she does, like, her game stuff. But, like, her everyday clothes... Dude, she'll wear a shirt. I'm like, what shirt is that? She's like, I got this in high school. I'm like, what? Or this is my aunt's shirt. I'm like, what? She had her sweater on there. I was like, this is a nice sweater. Where is it? She's like, oh, that's my Aunt Fern's. I was like, from when? She's like, the 90s? I don't know. Like, it's crazy. But when you got a body like that, it doesn't matter. Wear whatever you want. It's not the shirt, you know, it's the hanger.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
and the hanger, meaning the body, looks good. Like, I have to get clothes that look perfect because my hanger looks like shit.
Yeah.
Jenny's perfect. So she didn't work out. She eats like an asshole and she's perfect. I'm not complaining, but I'm complaining. You know what I mean? Like, it's bullshit.
Yeah. I get it. And if we eat one slice of pizza, we gain 10 pounds. That's just the way it goes.
Yeah. And like, I shouldn't say she eats terrible because, like, if she has like crappy food, she doesn't eat a ton of it. Like, she's little. She doesn't eat a lot. But she's looked the same since the day I met her. And she's worked out. We've been together for 12 years. I've maybe seen her work out like 6 or 7 times. I swear to God. And like, she'll take yoga and stuff like that. I don't count that as a workout. I know some of those yoga classes are tough. I get it. But like, I'm grinding F45 like 6-7 days a week. To stay the same. If she worked out twice a week, I'm pretty sure she'd be the first woman with a 10 pack. Like, she would be abbed out of her mind. She has abs right now and she does nothing. It's disgusting, but amazing at the same time.
That's how my wife is with golf.
She's good at golf.
Natural.
I got a quick story. So,
pisses me off.
I would love if Jenny played golf with me. She's not a good golfer, but just like, I get it. Like, it's my thing. I do it with my boys and my dad and like whatever. But I would love, like, every once in a while, like, hey, let's go play golf. if like the kids are at school or something, like go play nine, pull the driving range. So
yep.
I ruined that back in like 20. We were living in Dallas. It was either like 2012 or 20, the offseason 2012 or 2014, because 2013 we stayed in Boston, but it's one of those years. And she said, "All right, you know, I'll go to the golf course with you and Carson." Carson Blair is my best man in our wedding, and we went to the golf course. She's like, "I'll just bring my book. I'll come hang out." And this was like a sunset round, like it was like late in the afternoon. We're like on 17. It's like kind of dark. I don't even remember the course we're playing. Something downtown, close to downtown Dallas. And there's this fairway that kind of goes downhill. And I'm like, "Hey, hold on, this is gonna be fun." Because I was like, there's no one on the course. You start going down the hill, you know, you can kind of like fishtail it and kind of slide and then go. So she didn't hear me say, "Hold on." And I turn it, dude. I turn the golf cart. And like, as I'm turning it, I can like see her like flying out of the golf cart, bro. Like, no, it was bad. Dude, she lands on her butt. Like, we're not going slow. And I like, you have to like whip it. So she's just like, boom, out the side of the golf cart. And I see her land on her butt, and she smoked her head on the ground.
Oh.
She for sure had a concussion. Like, she was out of it for, like, 3 days.
Oh. I'm hiding my smile because I don't want to laugh at a concussion.
No, it's fine. It's fine now. It's hilarious story now. I mean, she's so tough, and she was like, I'm good. Like, it kind of hurt my tailbone more than anything. But, like, a couple of days later, she's like, "Just so you know, like, my head is still, like, ringing. I still feel kind of nauseous." I'm like, "You are concussed. You should have told me that." And she has not been to the golf course with me since that day. And she still, if it comes up in a group of people, like, at dinner or whatever, she'll be like, if someone's like, "Hey, do you ever go play golf with him, this and that?" And she's like, and I'm like, "Don't you dare tell this group of 15 people that I almost murdered you." Yeah, it was bad. It was bad. And she has not been back to the golf course with me since then. Ruined it.
Yeah, I don't blame her. I think it was an
accident, but she was so locked into whatever romance novel she's reading on number 17. It could have been a lot of fun.
It's only nine holes, so she's not like four beers deep to where she's not going to remember the fall. She remembers every bit.
She had nothing to drink. Yeah. I don't even think I had anything to drink.
Yeah.
But I was also a dumbass, like 23-year-old, and I'm like, "Hey, hold on." Woo, gone. 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 Like rolling down the hill. Gone.
If you've never almost flipped a cart, you've never actually golfed, though. Everybody
right,
has.
Right, but normally almost. Not with your significant other in that ends up tumbling down the fairway.
Sure.
As you're going, you know, 20 miles an hour.
Have you ever gotten
not
just...
ideal. It's not ideal, but and I'm never going to live it down, but she's also never... We actually own a golf cart that goes way faster than that now, and she'll ride in it. But golf course, no chance. Nor would I ever try to do that move ever again because I know better. And every time I do it by myself, I'm like, "Remember the time I almost killed my wife?" Yeah.
Most hammered you've ever been on a golf course was when?
I don't know if I've ever been like hammered on a golf course.
Yeah.
Because I care too much about my score.
You want to enjoy it. Yeah.
I want to, like, I have drinks, but I never get, like, drunk on a golf course.
But, I had a charity event one time that I did. I wasn't, you know, wobbling, but right. I don't, you know, the last five
also,
or six
like, months. When I go to, like, a charity golf tournament or something like that, like, I have drinks, but I also don't want to get, like, drunk because I'm playing with, like, a group of people I don't know, and like I don't want to be a jackass.
Yeah, see, we're different people, you know.
I mean, I've had plenty of drinks at the golf course, but I don't know if I've ever been like drunk on a golf course.
All right, we can get back on track, talk a little bit more baseball here. Have you noticed that the dominant theme this offseason has been Korean and Japanese player signing?
Yeah,
Ohtani, Yamamoto, and then now we just had I'm gonna butcher his name.
Yeah, Jung Ho Park too, right? Or what's his name? Jung Ho Lee.
Jung Ho Lee, yeah, he signed with San Francisco. Thank you. Why am I drawing the Padres closer? They just signed him like 24 hours ago.
There's the lefty Imanaga as well, who is on the
Woosa Go.
That's great pronunciation.
Thank you. Practiced like 10 times before this episode. Woosa Go. He just signed with the Padres. So what's the dominant theme this offseason? Japanese Korean players. Like that has been, I know
Asian
we've had
fusion,
some,
baby.
Yeah. Yeah. And here, okay, hear me out.
There's going to be more too. The Imanaga guy, yep. The lefty, Boston's been on him. There's some other teams been on him. The Yankees, he'll probably make his way over here too. And then next year, possibly Roki Sasaki.
Yeah.
Right. Which he's young kid that throws fuego.
This might be a bit of a bold take. I'm not after the hot takes, but I'm not even going to say it's bold because I have some evidence to back it up, Brooksy.
Okay.
At what point are we as Americans going to finally concede that we are no longer in possession of the greatest athletes in the world of any sport?
We're not conceding that. We're talking baseball.
I have evidence to back it up. Who are the best baseball players in Major League Baseball right now?
Right. We're talking about, you said athletes. You didn't say just baseball. You said
I'm not talking Olympics. I'm talking our sports that we have. MLB, NBA,
NHL. I mean, really think about football, basketball.
Football's ours. We're the only country in the world.
I mean, basketball,
really
there's a lot of European guys in basketball too, but there's still most of the superstars. I mean, you got Luka, who's European. I mean,
Giannis Antetokounmpo, Luka Doncic, and Nikola Jokic.
Right. So you're naming just like superstars, right? So if you look at the grand picture, though, it's like more good athletes, good in that sport, are Americans still.
Agreed with you. Volume.
You
got
to realize we go to these countries and we cherry pick like the best ones. If you look at the body, I don't mean to kill your point here, but actually I do. I do mean to kill your point. I mean to absolutely squish it and throw it in the trash because I fucking hated it.
Okay.
I do understand what you're saying, but we also go to these countries and we say, okay, there's the three best, and we bring them over because we give them their dream of playing in the NBA and the MLB. You know, that's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if you look at the grouping of the teams against our teams, it's not even close. If you compare rosters, they have some superstars, your Otanis, your Yamamotos, your Lucas, those are the best of the best from that country. That's not like what all their players are like.
Who won the World Baseball Classic?
Japan. Sweet.
Collective group.
That's fine. Those guys probably, we don't have to get too deep in this. You're going to get me going.
Okay.
I still think the best athletes in the world are here.
The NFL is by itself. The NFL, that's ours. No other country really plays.
Okay, so then you should have said you didn't say best baseball players. You said best athletes in the world.
The best athletes right now, this generation, are foreign international players. The top players in each respective league. Hockey, Connor McDavid, he's Canadian. The majority of hockey players are all from Canada and are.
Now we're talking about hockey. Let's talk about beach volleyball too, maybe ping pong while we're at
No,
it.
No. I'm talking about the four major North American sports. NHL.
Well, hockey's not even like an American sport, right?
I guess, but it's considered one of the top four major North American
sports. Yeah, no, I'm with you. No, this is a fun conversation. I still think we have more elite athletes here than other countries do.
I think as a whole, I'm with you. As a whole, yes. Like volume-wise, America.
But that was your question. What was your initial question?
Okay, can I rephrase and say that the top...
Sure, whatever needs you do to fit your narrative. Go.
The top athletes in our respective leagues in the United States are foreign international-based players.
That's fine. In baseball, we've been looking at Caribbean players for a long time.
Exactly.
Dominican, Venezuela. No, I'm with you on that, but you not... I answered based off of how you worded it.
Yeah.
So if you're putting it in this way, there are some of the best athletes in each sport are not from here. I agree. I agree with that.
Do you think it's coincidental, though, that every top player in every single league, and by every single, I mean those top four major sports, every single top player is not American? So best player in the NBA, Nikola Jokic, best player in Major League Baseball, Shohei Ohtani, best player in hockey is Connor McDavid, Canadian.
Okay, I'm not arguing that, but these leagues that are in the United States of America have the ability to go to the country and say, we are going to take your best player because we can, because our league pays more.
Yeah.
So I don't know how to put this in like a way to fit what you're saying, but
Here's how I would.
we just have the ability to take the best from every country and bring them here.
Okay,
So
let me.
of course we're gonna like, okay, this is one of the best players we've ever seen in whatever European country. Okay, this is the best baseball player we've ever seen. He just happens to be in Japan, but we're gonna bring him over here because we're gonna give him more money than anyone than Nippon Baseball League's gonna give him. So of course we're gonna have all the European players, most of the foreign players that we have in American sports are the best of the best from their country. So no shit, they're really, really good. Does that make sense?
But you're kind of feeding into my argument because I would counter that by saying, has America produced a player better than Shohei Ohtani at baseball?
No, who are you gonna compare it to? Shohei is in a different league, like, you know what I mean?
Okay. Has America produced a player better than Ronald Acuña Jr.?
I mean, you can say Mike Trout.
You could. Has America produced a
You can
hockey
say, I
player?
mean, there's, I mean, you can, are we talking this era? Are we gonna go back? We can talk about Mickey Mantle. We're gonna
I'm
talk
talking about
about
right now. I'm talking
Lou
about
Gehrig's.
right.
Are we okay?
I'm talking about right now. The international countries are kicking America's ass.
Right. And that kind of goes right back to my point of we get to go pick their
Agreed.
best players
Yeah, I agree.
and bring them here.
But I think
So
right
it's not
now.
like we're saying, all right, we're just going to take these 30. All right, this is the best Japanese player, but his entire team from Hiroshima has to come with him over here and fill a roster. Like we're just taking the best of the best from each country because we have that ability. So it, to your point, it feels that way because all the foreign players we have are elite because we have the ability to just take cherry pick those free agents. You
I
know?
agree with you. If you're looking at a pyramid, your top, your tier 5, 4, 3, and 2, majority are American players. I think tier 1 is dominantly international players. Does that make sense?
And that exactly, I agree.
You're with me there?
Okay, we're meeting here.
Okay.
But I'm telling you why that is. That's what I mean.
I understand that point. I
Because
think.
our base level roster fill,
Yeah.
26 man on the roster, like we're not getting those players from Japan. We're not paying a posting fee to bring a guy over to be a backup. We're bringing him over to be a superstar and a headline frontline starter, right? So of course the top tier players. What you're saying in the foreign mold in the European and the Dominican, Venezuelan, Japanese, because yeah, those are the guys that they're going to go cherry pick. So in a roundabout way, I understand what you're saying.
Tier one. Right
Okay.
now, I'm not talking about in 1995. I'm not talking about in 2005. I'm talking about
Right. So
here in
tier one baseball,
2024.
we're looking at like the Aaron Judges, the Ohtanis, the Mike Trouts, the Mookie Betts,
Yeah, plenty of
Acuna.
American. Yeah, plenty of amazing American
There
athletes.
are Americans,
Not.
but yeah, there are a lot of foreign players, but
Yeah, and like I
I'll...
didn't in the NBA, we still have LeBron James, obviously, even though he's older. We have Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, we blah blah, right? Shout out my guy De'Aaron Fox.
I think too, like as sports go on, like we're seeing more and more and more foreign players because of international scouting. Like there's more international scouting. There's more ways for us to see them because of social media and the internet, right? Like we're able to scout guys without even being there.
Yeah.
So I think that's another reason we're seeing an uptick in foreign players. But yeah, okay.
You don't hate it, I can tell.
I understand your angle now. At first I didn't, where you're like, can you agree the best athletes in the world aren't American? And I'm like, what? Do you
Your
mean?
inner Texan woke up like it hasn't been awoken in years, and
I
your
was
inner
like, let me
Texan was
fire
like,
that pigskin, boy.
wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Yeah, no, yeah, you got me up out of my seat for that one. But to your more specifically, when you put it in tiers, that makes more sense. And in my head, at least, as far as like rosters, looking at rosters, yeah, the superstars, because like I said, you can go pick whoever you want from any country. But yeah, that's a good point. I like that.
Jordan Montgomery, Cody Bellinger, Blake Snell, Matt Chapman still unsigned, Marcus Stroman unsigned, Mike Clevenger, unsigned, JD Martinez, Jorge Soler, Adam Duvall, Tommy Pham. The list goes on. Still a lot of dominoes left to be.
There's a lot. And you know what? I was ready to make like some bold predictions, but I don't know if we should just hold off.
Let's do another episode. I'm assuming we can do bold predictions. It sounds like we had too much to catch up on. Like, for example, international players being better than American players, which we both completely and wholeheartedly agreed upon. We had to talk about.
And what something else you should agree on and you should put in your back pocket is to not go on a cruise with a 3 and a 5-year-old because it's not fun.
Yeah. I am going to Hawaii next week. So recommendations are very much invited.
Okay.
Maui. I'm going to
Maui. My favorite island was Kauai.
I want to go to Kauai. That's in the plans, but I'm not. Yeah. It's Maui this time.
Maui's fun too.
Yeah. I am golfing. All right, well. So. If you have any recommendations, let me know. All right.
I got you.
All right, people. Wake and Rake podcast, part of the Believe Network. Appreciate you tuning in. Don't forget, international players are taking over our country, as we just learned on this episode. Talk to y'all soon, people. Peace.